Anybody? I think we all do at times. Sometimes we struggle more than other times. Sometimes it's the people that we go to school with. Man, there are some people that, man, I remember at times it's like, how can I even get along with that person? Why do I have to continue to see them and be with them and be near them? Sometimes it may be the person you live with. Maybe it's your spouse. I hope not. But maybe it is. Maybe it's your child. Struggle loving. Maybe it's your parent. Maybe there are other relationships in life that are so tough that sometimes we just don't know how to love them. I find it difficult to love another Christian. How sad. Because Jesus says that they'll know that we're his disciples by our what? Love one toward another. But sometimes it's the question is, how can I even love them? You don't know what they've done or said or how it hurts. And the reality is, God does. The reality is we stop to think about it, what we've really done to Jesus and yet his great love for us and that he died on the cross while we were yet sinners. He loved us. The Apostle Paul is writing to the church at Corinth, some of them difficult to love. See, the people in the church at Corinth were so caught up in themselves and in their sin. They were so caught up in what they wanted to do and be. Yes, they had gifts, spiritual gifts, because once you're saved, you get spiritual gifts. If you wonder about that, well, if you're saved, you have some. And the book of Corinthians really deals with how we can know and put some of those into practice. But see, this church at Corinth was living life in their own way. And how they wanted to. They were taking their spiritual gifts and using them for their own benefits. When the reality is, they didn't need to. They could have taken the spiritual gifts and let God use them. But they were getting caught up in their spiritual gifts. I'm good at this. And it's all about me. You're good at that, and man, that's about you. Wait a second. As Paul is writing to this church at Corinth, he addresses them and says, hey, there's some problems. In fact, one of the things we're reminded in 1 Corinthians 14:40, he's challenging this church to do all things decently and in order. Because sometimes things weren't done very decent in that church. Sometimes things weren't done in an orderly fashion. There were some problems, people problems. Remember, the Apostle Paul was the one who started the church, planted the church. And was involved instrumentally in Corinth. And here as he went, and he loved them, he saw some of the sin that they had. He saw some of the behaviors that they were living. And they went, sadly, their way. As he writes this book, he challenges them to deal with these things. But as he writes it, he begins with a thanksgiving. People that could be tough to love because they were selfish and they were using their own spiritual gifts in their own way, he could be thankful for them. How? I mean, it is tough to love people who are unlovable, who are unlovely. They rub you the wrong way. Hopefully nobody here does that on purpose. But sometimes we all rub people the wrong way. How do we love someone like that? I think we can learn from Paul's example here that we can thank God for them. And God, if we struggle loving them, God can work that love in our hearts and our lives for those individuals. Before we get into the Word, let's pray. Father, we come before you. We thank you for your love. We thank you that you care about us. And the ministries you've called us to, we thank you that you care about our church. God, we thank you that when it's tough to love people, that we can be thankful for them anyway. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 4 through 9, we see the first couple verses, and he says, I thank my God always on your behalf. For the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything ye are enriched by him, in all utterance, and in all knowledge. See, Paul is being genuinely thankful for this church that he loves, but he's grieved to see at their behavior. An example for us when we see other believers who are struggling in sin, or we just simply struggle to love, be genuinely thankful for them. And as Paul does this, we're reminded he's accomplishing two purposes here. First, he's giving thanks to God on their behalf. He says that, "I thank my God always on your behalf." He really thanks God for them. Not just, "God, why did you let that person be in my life? You knew how this would be." But he's thanking God on their behalf. Whose character does this show? Paul's. Man, he didn't let their behavior dictate his reaction and response. You know you better than that. You shouldn't be doing that and dealing with that out of anger. He was speaking the truth, but speaking it in love. He's genuinely thankful. It showed the other people that they didn't control his emotions. See, the church at Corinth struggled with Paul's authority. In another place, Paul says that he's weak of speech. According to some of them, he didn't have all of that speech, that the fluent speech that they would have wanted. But the reality was, he was God's messenger, giving God's message. He wasn't letting them dictate the way he was going to respond and react. They didn't control his emotions. He was thankful on their behalf. When I get irritated for another Christian, can I stop and give thanks to God for them? Paul does on their behalf. Even though he knows there's sin in the church that they're struggling with. Even when working with difficult people, I should show them that I'm thankful for them. He's showing not just God that he's thankful, he's showing the church, because he's writing this letter and says, "I thank God on your behalf." So if there's people you struggle to love, show them that you're thankful for them. Not necessarily for the way they're treating you or the way they're responding or reacting in that situation, but show them that you're thankful for them to God. And what that does, even in Paul's situation, it gives him another opportunity. They're listening. Even in this beginning part of this letter, he's challenging their thinking with preparing them for some of these truths he has to rebuke them for. But he's thankful for them, and he says, "I'm thankful for you." He shows it. This will help give you a place of influence, because they'll know you're not against them, but you love them. This helps that person sometimes just to listen, because they know you are thankful for them. Instead of saying, "I'm thankful for you, but..." Or you ever say that to your kids? "I love you, but..." Well, wait a second. Either "I love you" or "I love you, but this is a problem." Okay, and the reality is there are things we have to address. But Paul, here he genuinely addresses this with, "I'm thankful for you." He didn't say, "I thank my God on your behalf, but there's some major problems you need to deal with." There's a point in time for that. And he's going to get into some of that. But here he says, "I'm thankful for you." If there's an individual you struggle with this week, would you show them you're thankful for them? The Corinthians struggled with his authority, and yet he says, "I'm thankful for you. I give thanks to God on your behalf." And there's some specific areas of life we'll look at as he does that. But as he gives thanks to God on their behalf, he redirects their focus from the wrong use or even abuse of their spiritual gifts back to God. That it's not about them. It redirects his own thoughts back as he knows, "Man, here's some things I've got to deal with, but you know what? I'm thankful for you." Instead of, "I'm thankful for you, but..." "There's some things I need to deal with, but I'm thankful for you." Show your spouse this week you're thankful for him or her. Show your kids, your parents, your teachers, other Christians that sometimes are tough to love, "I'm thankful for you." It redirects your focus and their focus back to God. It shows that your position is love, even if you have to correct. Because sometimes correction is necessary. In all of our lives. In fact, I heard something the other day. How does someone really know you love them if you don't ever correct them?
because love does correct and helps to a better place of life, if you will. We do that with our kids. I mean, aren't you thankful your parents stopped you from sucking your thumb or that pacifier? I mean, whoa, that would be unloving for a parent to let their kid just grow up and do that. Aren't you thankful that you were potty trained? I mean, these are just basic things of life, but man, aren't you thankful your parents said you will go in that toilet? The reality is there are some parts of life that, man, there's correction that's needed. And when it comes to spiritual matters here in the church, Paul says there are some issues, but I'm thankful for you. And I want you to know I love you dearly. Shows his position is love. 1 Corinthians 4, verses 14 through 16, Paul says, I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons, I warn you. For though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Wherefore I beseech you, be followers of me. He's not saying, hey, look up to me and I'm everything you need to follow. He's saying, in other places, follow me as I follow Christ. He said, I love you. I want what's best for you. I give thanks to God always on your behalf. Redirects their focus to Christ. And it's interesting, remembering from this passage, that all believers are genuinely gifted, spiritually gifted. If you're here and you know Jesus Christ as Savior, you have spiritual gifts. Sometimes we look at people that claim to be Christian and we say, there's no way they can be gifted. They sure don't have love. They sure don't have... But the reality is, if you are in Christ, you are gifted. Sometimes we need to develop and train and disciple and help work through some of those things. But we can thank God because they're in Christ. They have spiritual gifts. Paul's saying, you have gifts. He's also thankful that they haven't arrived. Says that a little bit later. Verse 7, so that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. You aren't there yet. And I'm thankful for that. Now he doesn't say, because you've got a long way to go. He says, but I'm thankful you're not there. Because doesn't he say that about himself in Philippians? I have not already attained. I'm not there, but I sure long to be. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So as he knows he has some things to address, he says, I'm thankful for you. I love you. I'm thankful for you. I know there's some spiritual growth that's needed. And he actually begins to deal with that in the very next section here, beginning in verse 10. After he's thankful, he says, now I beseech you. He starts out with love. And then he says, hey, there's some things. I have need to live God's ways in the way that God has changed me. He goes on in verse 15. Lest any should say that I had baptized in mine own name, and I baptized also the household of Stephanas. Besides, I know not whether I baptized any other. Hey, there's some spiritual things I've done, but now we go on from here. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Not with wisdom of words. Again, here they are with, hey, you need to be fluent in your speech. And we've got to be wise and careful and studied and prepared. But he said it's not all about the man's wisdom. But the preaching of the cross is foolishness, he goes on to say. He's thankful for them because they've gotten saved. They have spiritual gifts. And there's some growth that's going to happen as they yield to him. So this week, as you and I give thanks to God for people, what are some areas we can remember to thank God for? Number one, God's grace. I can thank God on your behalf for your grace. You struggle loving someone? Look, especially another believer we're speaking about here. Look at them and say, I'm thankful for God's grace in your life. Not with because you've got a lot of growth to do. That's not talking about that. Paul says in verse 5 or verse 4, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ. When he's talking about this grace, he's really talking about the grace of God that's shown to them in salvation. Aren't you thankful for salvation in your own life? Aren't you thankful for salvation in other people's lives? Sometimes, man, someone, they're living in such a way that we wonder, whoa, what is going on in their life? And they claim to be saved. Well, I'm thankful for God's grace in your life. God has saved you. Praise God. He's thankful for that. He's thankful for this. Salvation is real. John 1:12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. God's grace is real in someone else's life who's saved. But you don't know what they've done to me. No, but you don't know how good God's grace is in their life. Do you? Or have you stopped to think about it? Paul says, I am thankful for God's grace in your life. That God's gifts at salvation are real. He goes on, and a little bit later in this letter, as he gets into this a little further, in chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, he says, and these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sakes, that ye might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written, that no one of you be puffed up for one against another. For who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hadst not received it? He said, you've been given spiritual gifts. I'm different than Apollos, and Apollos is different than me. Many have said that Apollos was very fluent and an incredible orator, and Paul maybe not so much as him. Everyone has different gifts spiritually. Paul gets into that a little later in chapter 12. Man, there's the toe, there's the nose, there's the ear. Aren't you thankful for your little toe? You don't think about it very often. I have a friend who, man, he lost his big toe. He thinks about his missing toe a lot more than I think about the toes I have. But you know what? He said it makes a difference in him, and he has to be more cautious on his feet because he doesn't balance as easy because he just doesn't have his big toe. We take some of our body members for granted. But as a church family, we all are body members. You have a role at Jerusalem Baptist Church. And when you're not playing it and fulfilling it, we all suffer. Paul says, I am thankful that your gifts are different than someone else's. God's grace is real in your life. You have gifts. Thank God for that. He said, I'm thankful that for Jesus Christ. Back to chapter 1, verse 4, he says, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ. Jesus is real. It's not that Jesus was real. Jesus is real. He is alive. And he's working in our lives and in our midst. Paul says, I'm thankful that you've received him. I'm thankful that you understood the truth. In fact, he goes on in this letter and he says, I've preached Christ to you. You've received him. Not about me. It's about him. He says, I'm thankful. When I look at you, I'm thankful for God's grace in your life. Yes, it's salvation. For the spiritual gifts you have. Because there's one mediator between God and man, and you've received him as your Savior. The man, Christ Jesus. It's only possible, as we already quoted John 1:12, because of Jesus. As the early apostles challenged in Acts, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. It's all about Jesus. Paul says, I'm thankful for God's grace in your life. You struggle to give thanks for another Christian, thank God for the grace in their life. But also you can thank God for his riches in their life. Look at verse 5, that in everything ye are enriched by him in all utterance and in all knowledge. I've began to study the book of Ephesians in my own devotions. And one of the, Warren Wiersbe, his commentary wrote on the book of Ephesians, he calls it being rich, his B series, be rich. And man, we are rich in Christ. And here he's saying, I am thankful on your behalf because you are rich. If you know Jesus Christ as Savior, you are rich. We look at our lives and sometimes we compare richness and poverty with physical being. But the riches that we have in Christ outweigh any riches we can have financially or on this earth in any way. Think about it. A home in heaven. Before we had our opportunity to give back to the Lord our tithes and offerings, as Jeff was praying, he said, we can't give back to you enough to cover what you've done for us. Man, we don't even try. We have been blessed and we are enriched in Christ, our home in heaven, our relationship with God. I mean, sometimes in life, we get the idea that if we can build certain personal relationships with people, we are something. You ever been around someone who's a name dropper? You know, I mean, oh, yeah, man, him and I, we go way back. And some people, all they can talk about is their relationship with big people. And that makes me something special. That makes me sick. Right? I mean, it's like, oh, I don't want to be around them. All they can talk about is their relationship with so-and-so and this relationship with that person. And that. Wait a second. You and I have a relationship with God, the creator of the universe. Talk about being rich. Wow. That is life-changing truth. Paul says, yes, there are struggles that I have to address here at the church at Corinth because I love them, but I'm thankful because you are rich in Christ. There is so much. You look at our lives, there's so many blessings that we have. Enriched. They were made rich at salvation. Look what he says, verse 5, that in everything you are enriched. There's the quantity, if you will. In everything. Kind of reminds me of our memory verse. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In every, give thanks. How can I do that? Because I'm rich in Christ. In the midst of the difficult situations of life. I need reality instead of seeing the patchwork quilt of today. And tomorrow, and how am I going to make it through? If you know Christ as Savior, you are rich in Christ. In everything, he says. Wow. Today, tomorrow, before school or work, after, while at work, or while I'm with that Christian that I struggle loving, I am rich in Christ. And so is that other Christian. And I am thankful for that because God makes a difference in their life too. Even if sometimes it's not always the most visible, I'm thankful because God's riches are true and real. Not just in everything and the quantity, but the quality. And really, these are two areas he addresses throughout this letter to the church at Corinth. He says, in all utterance and in all knowledge. Utterance. That has to do with our speech. Words. And there's a lot of different nuances that this can take. And he addresses this throughout them. Remember, this church at Corinth, as they're looking at Paul, they're thinking they're pretty good at some of these areas. Perhaps it's all utterance and knowledge. We got it together. They're talking about Apollos and his well-put-together speech. And their wisdom of men. And Paul's saying, but we need to worry about the wisdom of God. He says, you are rich in all utterance. Communicating the truth. Maybe you teach a Sunday school class. You are rich to communicate the truth. Maybe you're sharing the gospel with someone at work. You are rich to communicate the truth. God gives you that. What a blessing. But the same for that other believer that you struggle loving. They are rich in communicating the truth. Sometimes some of these areas don't shine through. In the Corinthian aspect, some of these areas really shined through. Man, we're good at our speech and we're good at our knowledge. Not that they weren't, but here he doesn't begin with thanking God for their love as he does other churches. But he's thankful that they've been enriched in speech. And in knowledge. Thank God for the good aspects you see in those other people's lives. The riches that God has given them. Man, I'm thankful for your ability and your willingness to serve God in that area. Yeah, maybe there's some other areas that that person needs to grow. But thank God for the ones that, man, they're just shining out and living for God. Your spouse. Thank God for the riches that you see in his or her life. Shining through in their spiritual gifts this week. These are gifts from God, not good things that they have in themselves. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 6 says, but though I be rude in speech, yet not in knowledge, but we have been truly made manifest among you in all things. Paul says, I don't have all my speech put together like you may want it. But the point is, we're all gifted differently. Each one of us has a different spiritual gift. Well, that person doesn't do this as good, so man, there's no room for you here. Wait a second. If you're saved, you should be part of the local church. There's a reason we have membership and opportunities to serve as a local church family. Because we need you. You need us. We are here to serve God. We can thank God for the gifts that we see in others' lives. The utterance, the speech, the knowledge of understanding the truth. Man, there are some people that just understand certain subjects or in school better. Man, some people love their math and their numbers and imaginary numbers and all of these other crazy things that people are doing. And it makes sense. And I look at some of it and I'm like, I'm glad you're doing that. Because sometimes that knowledge doesn't happen in my brain. But here they have knowledge of understanding God's truth. And Paul says, as much as maybe you're abusing some of those spiritual gifts and using them for your personal gain, I am thankful that I'm seeing them in your life. Because that means God is working. That it means you are saved. Again, as he said, God's grace is real in your life. The reality is, I can give thanks to God for those people. Because they're saved. Now, maybe you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ as Savior. Man, I can't be thankful you're saved because you're not. Maybe that person you struggle to love isn't saved. You can't be thankful that they're saved if they're not. But you sure can thank God that you have the opportunity to point them to the grace of God. And so let God's love flow through you as God's love flowed through the cross for you. That we can be testimonies, even as he says here a little bit later, of these believers. Be thankful for God's grace. Be thankful for God's riches. Be thankful for God's confirmation. Sometimes when we hear the word confirmation, we think of that religious function that happens when you're 11 or 12 in church somewhere. And I went through my confirmation classes, and so I'm confirmed. Maybe you've talked with people and I've been confirmed. And being confirmed doesn't mean we go to heaven. Now, what Paul's talking about here is not just going through and knowing some answers to some biblical questions and being able to regurgitate it, but the difference that is made in the heart. Verse 6, be thankful for God's confirmation in their life. Even as the testimony of Christ was what? Confirmed in you. Verse 7, so that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. God's confirmation. Man, he is again, yes, thankful for God's grace, but once again he's saying, I am thankful for God's salvation in your life. He says, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. You have salvation, testimony, the evidence that is given. Whether it's in a courtroom or somewhere else. Maybe as a parent, as you look at your kids and he took this, no, she took this, and okay, how do I know what's the truth here? You look for evidence, testimony. And that's what we have here. He says, I am thankful for the testimony of Christ that it was confirmed in you. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 11 through 14. Paul's writing to the church at Ephesus here. And he says, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth. So he says, okay, so here's, you trusted after you heard the word. You can't get saved unless you hear the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. He says, you've trusted in him. And he says, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. There's the testimony, if you will, which is the earnest or down payment of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. You and I have a testimony confirmed in us at salvation. the Holy Spirit. You have received spiritual gifts. Do you know what they are? Are you using them? Are we using them as a church family? But as you look at someone else's lives, these are reasons you can be thankful for another Christian. Because God's confirmation in your life that man, you have been saved. Jesus says you'll know them by their what? Fruit. Now, this church at Corinth, they did have some struggles. But Paul saw some things that they were doing and living for God and had a desire. And as much as there were struggles, he was thankful because he could see the fruit of their life, that God had made a difference. But you don't know what that person says to me. No, but do you see that God has made a difference in their life? Maybe it's not everything you'd want, but love them. Your kids. As parents, we have such an opportunity and responsibility to correct and instruct. And kids, sometimes that's hard, isn't it? How many of you adults remember being a teen and you struggled with your parents correcting you, right? And kids, and man, oh man, I remember those things. I look at my dad, there was one conversation my dad had with me. I will never forget it. We were driving in our vehicle. I believe it was a big brown van that we had at the time. And I remember sitting there, it was late Saturday night, and dad wanted to talk to me. I did not look forward to that car ride with my dad. And I love my dad. But man, I won't ever forget that conversation. And I sat there quiet the whole time, and I thought, Dad, you don't know what you're talking about. Now, you know, all these years later, I look back and I think, well, my dad really knew what he was talking about. But I struggled with that. But you know what? Finally, I had to listen because dad said, you will listen to me. I'm your dad. But my dad loved me through it. Paul says, there's some things I'm going to challenge you with, but I'm thankful because I see God's work in your life. You are letting God work. You have the riches of God. You have evidence of salvation. You have spiritual gifts. He goes on in verse 7. He says, so that ye come behind in no gift. You guys have these gifts. Praise God. I'm thankful for them. I'm thankful I can see spiritual gifts. You know what? Man, one of the spiritual gifts that has just blown us away as we have come to be part of Jeruel, and from before we ever even came, was seeing the giving spirit of our church. Man, many have the gift of giving. What a blessing. And there are so many other spiritual gifts represented here. But sometimes if you look at someone and you can say, man, there's struggles. But look at the spiritual gift and say, I thank God for your spiritual gift of that. And let them know, man, I'm thankful to like see God doing that in your life and how you're letting God use that. Again, these spiritual gifts, utterance and knowledge, they had to be addressed. They weren't using them the way they should have, but they were still there and evident in their life. He says, I'm thankful for the gracious bestowment of God in your life that I see. Back to verse 5, that in everything ye are enriched by him. You are rich in your spiritual gifts. You are. Maybe you look at your own life and you say, man, I struggle even being thankful for me. I don't see anything good. Well, if you know Jesus Christ as Savior, one, you're rich. You've got the grace of God. The riches of God. You have spiritual gifts. Are you using them and letting God use them through you? Again, our focus must not be ourselves. The Corinthian church often had a self-focus with their gifts. It's got to be on God and others. And Paul's making that known. I love you and I'm thankful for you. These gifts serve as God's confirmation both of the gospel itself and Paul's preaching of it in Corinth. He said, man, I'm thankful because I see God has made a difference in your life. And again, he goes on and deals with that in 1 Corinthians 12. We are part of a body. Your gifts look different than mine. And mine look different than Apollos's. But I'm thankful for your gifts. Maybe you say, well, I'm just the big toe. You know what? I am thankful for our church's big toe. I don't know who that is. I'm not thinking of anybody specific. But sometimes we look at our lives and we say, what am I? Who am I? You have gifts from God if you're saved. And there's reasons you can thank God for your own life if you're struggling with that. But as you struggle to love people, thank God for the spiritual gifts in other believers. His confirmation, God's continued work. Verse 8. Actually, let's finish up in verse 7. He says, so that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. There is coming a day. Jesus will return. This isn't just eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. There is an eternal purpose here. And Paul's reminding the church at Corinth, this is not about today. This is not about next Sunday. This is not about this next big event that the church is going to do. This is about eternity. He says, I'm thankful for God because I know that day is coming in your life. Because it's coming in my life. Waiting for that return of Jesus Christ, the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thankful for God's continued work. Aren't you? You know, sometimes we look at people and say, I don't even know how to be thankful for, I don't even know how to love them. But aren't you thankful God's not finished working on them yet? I mean, if you can't find anything else, you're thankful for their salvation. And yes, okay, they've been enriched in Christ. And whoa, but God's not finished working on them. There's the old song, he's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It took him just a week to make the moon and the stars, the earth and moon, Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient he must be, because he's still working on me. Man, I'm thankful. My kids are thankful. My wife is thankful. So you can be thankful that God's still working on them too. Maybe your kids have problems. Maybe your parents have problems. Maybe the other person has struggles. Well, so do you. But God's not finished working yet. And Paul says that day is coming. Will last to the end. Who shall also confirm you unto the end. Once you're saved, you're always saved. Aren't you thankful? And that God's work isn't over. This isn't just a strong affirmation, not simply a wish prayer. Oh, I pray that you'll make it to the end. No, you're saved. You're always saved. And God's not finished working yet. But someday we will be like him, for we will see him as he is. We've talked about sanctification and the reality of positionally at salvation, man, I am separated from this world unto God. But practically, my life still stinks. And I've got a lot of growing to do, and I'm thankful God's not finished with me. But someday there's that permanent or ultimate sanctification when I'm with him forever in heaven. And Paul says that day is coming, and I'm excited about it in your life. Again, not with a negative connotation, because you got a lot to work on now, but because, man, I'm excited. God loves you. He's not looking at this out of two sides of his glasses and saying, okay, yeah, man, you got a lot of problems, and I'm thankful God's not done because you got a lot of problems. No, I'm thankful for you. Parents, let's treat our kids that way. I'm thankful for you. They've got a lot of growing, just like we had when we were their age. Our friends, maybe someone who's been saved longer than us, he's still working on them too. Let's be thankful for God's continued work in lives. Philippians 1, verses 3 through 6. I had first jotted down verse 6, but man, going back over that and looking at these verses, I thought 3 is such an incredible spot to start. Philippians chapter 1, verse 3, Paul says, here to the church at Philippi, and his introductory where he often thanks God. Look what he says. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Now this church at Philippi had a lot of good things going for them. Again, as many struggles as there were at Corinth, man, they understood they were gifted by God. Here he says, I am confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. Man, God is so good. I'm thankful he's not finished working on you yet. And this was to a church that, in some ways, maybe were more spiritual. They had struggles. Corinth, they were more spiritual in some way. I mean, they had the spiritual gift idea down. But they had a lot of problems. And Paul says, I'm thankful because God will keep working on you. And do you know that if again, thinking back to this year and God leading our family here, if I saw a church family that had no room for spiritual growth, I wouldn't have gone. Because how could God use someone who to preach to people who didn't see, hey, God keeps changing me? Because you know what? I would have come and messed up something good then. Because God's still changing me. How many of you think I have problems? Okay, good. My daughter was her first to raise the hand. I understand that. Okay. I do. Man, God convicts me. I'm thankful God's not finished working on me. You know what else? I'm thankful God's not finished working on you. Let's keep letting God change us. And when you struggle loving someone, be thankful God's not finished working on them. He still has a plan. 1 Thessalonians 3, verses 12 through 13. And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you, to the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. Someday. Someday. My family won't have to deal with my sin. They can be thankful for that. But they should also be able to be thankful that God is still working on me. And that's how I can look at other people. God, I'm thankful for your work in their lives. That he will change who I am. In other letters, Paul writes, he says, and such were some of you. You've been changed. You're still changing. But as he's thankful for this church, he's thankful for God's grace in their lives. He's thankful for God's riches in the spiritual gifts. He's thankful for God's confirmation they have been saved. The spiritual gifts show that they've been saved. He's thankful for God's continued work. And he's thankful for God's faithfulness. Remember, he starts out in verse 4 here of 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I thank my God always on your behalf. And look at verse 9. What are the first three words there? God is faithful. He says, I am thankful for you because God is faithful. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. See, the Apostle Paul knew the Old Testament. Remember, before he got saved, he was a Pharisee. And man, he studied the Old Testament, the law. He knew it, knew much of it, you know, a good amount of it by memory. He talks about all of his good credentials to the church at Philippi. He said, but it had nothing to do with me. I'm thankful that God is faithful. When you look at someone and you struggle being thankful for them, you struggle loving them, would you thank God that he's faithful to them? Even to the unsaved world around us, God is not long-suffering to us, Lord, that we would share the gospel with them. God is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God, yes, is long-suffering to them, but he's long-suffering to the church for the unsaved. So even if they're unsaved, man, I can be thankful that God is faithful and wants to see them get saved. But for those who are saved, man, I am thankful that God is faithful to them. Maybe there's a brother or sister in Christ who, man, they are just living in sin. Flat out sin. They know it. They don't care. One, again, they need to evaluate their hearts. We've talked about that in 1 John. Am I saved? Once you're saved, you're always saved. And we can grow calloused to the things of the Lord. But I can sure be thankful that God is faithful. Paul says to this church at Corinth, I am thankful that we serve a faithful God. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. This is the very nature of God. We've talked about that in 1 John, the nature of God. God is love, and we've talked about a number of different aspects of that. But God's very nature is faithfulness. And sometimes our very nature is unfaithfulness. Oh, yeah, I'll do that for you. And we don't ever do it. Oh, yeah, this will happen. And it never happens. And oh, wait a second. I'm thankful that God is faithful. And God can work that in them and in me. Not just this is how God's nature, but this is how God works. Verse 9, God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Look at the word called. Remember last week as we looked at verses 1 through 3, Paul, what? Called. Verse 2, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints. Here he says in verse 9 that God is faithful by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. He calls forth. Aren't you thankful for God's calling in your life and in other lives? He is faithful. Verse 24, but unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Here we see again wisdom. The wisdom of God. Paul's going to deal with that theme quite a bit throughout this book. Because we can have God's wisdom. God is faithful. Positionally, he has freed us from the guilt of sin. He says in verse 9, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship. Man, there's salvation. Aren't you thankful for that? But not just positionally are we freed from the guilt of sin. Relationally, we are in fellowship with Jesus Christ. And so are they if they're saved. Our Lord, he ends up that verse and he says, with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. He is a personal Savior. Not just some God who's out there. He's personal to me, but he's also personal to that other believer I'm struggling loving. God is faithful. So there's so many things we have to give thanks for people, on behalf of people who we struggle loving. But why do we give thanks? Not based on us. Not sometimes not even always based on that other person. But as Paul shows here, it's based on God and the very nature and work of God in their life. Father, we thank you for your love.